For some reason, we tend to think that God is somewhere up there, looking down on his children to see how they're doing. But the New Testament paints a different picture, in which God sees believers as part of Christ's body, the church, in a union with him as intimate as the connection between the parts of a human body. As Christians running the race of life, we don't run alone. We share the actual life of God himself. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our series on Finding Where You Fit. Dr. Lutzer is speaking on finding your place, and that place is one of vital union with Jesus.
And Jesus Christ is the head of the body. It is the place, the control center that controls all the different parts of the body. But the same blood, the same life that is in my head is in the rest of the body, because the union is so direct, the union is so complete, that the head and the rest of the body share the very same life. And so it is that we share Christ, partakers of him. What an astounding passage of Scripture. And in verse 13, Paul uses the little word all two times. We are all baptized into one body. He didn't say, now all those of you who are spiritual at Corinth, you were baptized into one body. He didn't say, now all those of you who speak in tongues at Corinth, you were baptized into one body. He said, for by one body, by one spirit, we were all baptized into the same body. And then he said, we were all made to drink of the same spirit. Now, when you drink water, it goes inside of you. Two aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that ought to bless us. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that puts me into Christ. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that puts Christ into me. Jesus said, I in you and you in me. More than 100 times in the Bible, the Apostle Paul uses that little expression, in Christ. In fact, every time God gives us a command in Scripture, it is based on the fact that we are already in Christ. Remember, everything that we are asked to do is based on what Christ has already done, and we are in him. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our connection with Christ is so direct that Paul says in Ephesians, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And you can't get rid of bones without destroying the body. That's how integral it is. That's how connected it is, a part of him. Well, you say, if that's true, why all this misery in the world? Why all these trials? Why all these heartaches? Why all these difficulties? Does he feel what we are going through? Because the body is a unit. You know, many years ago, and it is getting to be many years ago, when I was out on the farm growing up, we were building something, and I took a hammer and I was trying to pound in spikes and see how few hammer blows I could get the spikes in with. Probably not in the best of mood, maybe working out some of my aggression. But I remember hitting my finger. You know, to this day, I know which one it is. It's this one here, because the fingernail is considerably larger than my other fingernails, because I got a brand new one. And, you know, when I hit it, we didn't go to the doctor until the next day, but all the other members of my body were so concerned about what happened that they stayed up all night with a finger. They really did. Does Jesus feel your pain? That's what some of you are asking, and the answer is yes. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? My body is feeling the hurt and the torture of believers who are being cast into prison and put to death. I am hurt. Yes, We have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our head is not detached from the body. It is a part of the body. It feels with the body. It shares its life with the body, and it also shares its honor with the body. Ephesians chapter 1, Christ is above all principalities and above all powers. What does it say in Ephesians 2? And he has raised us up together with him that we might be seated also at the right hand of God the Father. If the head is in heaven, the body has to be there too, because the head is not severed from the body. He shares his honor with us. He shares his victory with us. Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as are members of Christ have been baptized into his body? Again, a reference to spirit baptism. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in his resurrection, so we shall be united with him also in his death and ascension. And that's essentially what Paul is saying. And therefore, we can walk because the head and the body are connected. We are one. We have unity. Write it down. We have unity. Secondly, we also have diversity. We pick up the text in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? You imagine the whole body and eye. You take this big eye, you put it on the couch, and all that it can do is watch television. If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? One big ear. Imagine that. I guess you'd have to turn off the TV and turn on the radio. Paul doesn't use this illustration, but it came to my mind. If the whole body were a mouth, what would we be? And you say, well, you know, there have been people for whom that description at least remotely may apply. Paul is saying there is diversity. There is diversity. Do you know what this means in practical terms? Number one, no such thing as inferiority. No such thing as inferiority. Paul goes on to talk about those lesser members that we give no honor to, and he says they are even more necessary. Verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And then he goes into the description of those that are less honorable. And what he's talking about is those parts of our body that we would never display in public. Paul says they are just as important as those that we very gladly display. It is because the body has no such thing as inferiority. You can't say to the toe, I don't need you. You know why there's inferiority in the church? And I would like to take care of that in the next couple of minutes, if I could. I'm going to try, but I'm not so naive as to think that I can accomplish it. But let me tell you why. It's because of the idea, the perverse idea, that church is going to church on Sunday and having a wonderful meeting, and that's church. And when you go to church, you notice that there are certain people who lead the service. There are certain people who sing because they're particularly gifted. And therefore people say, well, I can't sing like that, I can't read the scripture like that, I can't speak like that, and therefore there's nothing for me to do. Oh, please get rid of that idea forever. Bury it. What we need to do is to understand that the body of Jesus Christ is to go about the earth healing the brokenhearted. The body of Jesus Christ comes together on Sunday, but it has its ministry on Monday and on Tuesday as we go out into the world and represent Jesus in stores and factories and office buildings and wherever we may find ourselves as his representatives. And that's what we need to understand. And we will never electrify the church again. We will never see the church transforming society unless once again we understand the vision of Jesus going about explaining to people how they can have a relationship with God, explaining forgiveness and reconciliation to God, and going into the highways and the byways, being willing to be identified with the people of the world to lead them to the Savior about whom we sing so beautifully. And that's the responsibility of the church. And you see, that's why we need all the members of the body. Everyone has a function, maybe not in a public meeting, but every member functioning uniquely made by God to fit somewhere in the body. No room for inferiority, but no room for superiority. We come to the same text. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? You know what the problem with the eyes are? They say, well, why can't everybody be an eye just like me? And the mouths bless them. They say, why can't everybody be a mouth just like me? And so they begin to feel that other members are inferior because everybody should be like me. I cannot tell you the harm that has come to the body of Jesus Christ and the weakness of the body, because there are members in the body who will not accept other members who have weaknesses. Particularly, it's difficult to accept those who have weaknesses in the area in which we are strong, you see. And so we say, in effect, why can't he be like me? Well, I think it was Will Rogers who said, I've never yet met a man of whom I wish there were two. So that's one reason why he shouldn't be like you. My dear friend, would you get over that? You see, many of you don't know me very well. You hear me on Sunday, but you don't really know my weaknesses. Not really. Now, those who work with me do, and some of them here are on the pastoral staff sitting right behind me. They know my weaknesses. But the reason they never say anything to anybody about them is because I know their weaknesses too. There are areas in which I am weak, and the members of the pastoral staff, they are strong in those areas. So we work together. We try to minimize our weaknesses. We maximize our strengths because we're helping one another. But there's no room for inferiority.
This is Pastor Lutzer. If only we would get this into our minds and hearts, that God has created us to be different. He's gifted us differently. And that means, for example, that if two people have the gift of teaching, that does not make them equal teachers. Because there is so much variety and there is development in our spiritual gifts. But don't ever envy someone who is more gifted than you. And as I like to point out, don't ever become proud if God has given you special gifts. Because at the end of the day, before his own master, the scripture says, he stands or he falls. So let us serve in humility, but let's find where we fit and let's get to work for the glory of God. That's my challenge to you today, and I hope that you'll listen next time as this message continues to help us on life's journey.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Finding Your Place, the second message in his series, Finding Where You Fit. Monday, join us as Pastor Lutzer wraps up this look at the body of Christ. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you find God's direction for your race of life. This series can help all of us make sure we're plugged in where God wants us to serve. All four messages in the series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about finding where you fit when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more about finding your place, join us Monday for our next Running to Win.